from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the burying the lead department, you know, this is a new feature of the broadcast. We look for news stories where the lead, that is to say, the most newsworthy part of the story, has been buried deep within the body of the text. It's called in the journalism industry burying the lead. Here it is from Sunday's New York Times, a front page story that the feds are now tracking Iraqi citizens and Iraqis with dual American and Iraqi citizenship to see if they may be engaging in some honky-ponky. I believe that's the Iraqi term for it. But you jump over to page 22, several paragraphs down, to read this. Another part of the new intelligence operation involves a focused effort to assess whether the regime of Saddam Hussein has engaged in any actions through alliances with Middle Eastern terrorist organizations or efforts to obtain weapons that could threaten American interests in this country or abroad. The officials said the monitoring operation had not detected any specific threats in the United States or against American interests overseas. Would that not be the news? Was we're planning to go to war with this country? That our monitoring operations have disclosed no sign of any specific threats, either here or abroad, against us. U.S. Spelled U.S. Mm-hmm. Just, we'll rebury that. And it'll be there for, I guess, are there archaeologists of news? Journo-archaeologists? They'll dig it up a few months from now and have some fun with it, one would think. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this week the Catholic bishops in America bowed to pressure from the Vatican to amend their policy regarding the whole issue of pedophile priests, and they've adopted a policy now at the Vatican's instigation, basically best understood as no child's behind left. But there'll be much more about that, of course. Meanwhile, I'm in a place today where a cab driver yesterday dispatched to take me here to the broadcast center, the mobile, the show dome for this week, said, there's too much traffic. There's too much traffic everywhere. You better get out. You better take rapid transit because there's too much traffic. We'll never get there. Basically as a way to disguise the fact that he didn't know where this was or is. And this is a city where the local Starbucks says, well, we can't give you an espresso for here because all the for here cups are broken. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in New York City. Hello, welcome to the show.
Through the space and the time, traveling deep beneath the waves, in watery grottos and mountainous caves. But ah, Lord, we got to fight with the thoughts in the head, with the dark and the light. No use to stop and stare if you don't know where you're going. Any road will take you there. My teeth by the breath of her hair, traveling where the four winds blow, with the sun on my face in the ice and the snow. But ooh-wee, it's a game. Sometimes you're cool, sometimes you're lame. Oh yeah, it's somewhere if you don't know where you're going. Any road will take you there. The spin of the wheel with the roll of the dice. Ah, yeah, you pay your fare if you don't know where you're going. Any road will take you there. I keep traveling around the bend. There was no beginning, there is no end. It wasn't born and never dies. There are no edges, there is no size. Ah, yeah. Just don't win. It's so far out, the way out is in. Bow to God and call him sir. But if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Well, isn't that interesting? And there'll be more of that. Yeah, I'm in New York, all right. Well, hello, welcome to the show. We'll figure that out, won't we? By we, I mean me. Yeah. So, how've you been? Me? Never better. It's cold, it's rainy, it's windy. This machine can't figure out how to play track three. We'll teach it. We'll hit it. We'll hit it very, very hard. Here it is now.
I'm stalking a fan. He lives in a high won't be too far behind, just hanging around. Driving him out of his mind, I'm talking a fan. He's gone to the record store to buy CD. But some other girl, not me, he's taking her home. Getting her out of her box and putting her on. And dancing around in his socks, treachery. Made a monster out of me. Treachery. Made a monster out of me. Treachery. Made a monster out of me. Treachery.
Tables before you, you will know what all this time was.
from the edge, from the other edge of America, from the home of the other homeless. They got homeless here, don't they? Sure. Why wouldn't you want to be homeless here? It's cold, it's rainy, it's windy. It's New York City, it's lower Manhattan. It's the lowest of lower Manhattan. Welcome to the show. I am Harry Shearer. Don't worry. I was just edging back for a moment. I'll be over there from time to time, but then I'm back here. Ladies and gentlemen, first, it's one quarter of the way through the show. He has the nerve to say first. Yes, I do. Here's more nerve, though. A little shameless self-promotion, because if not me, who? Oh, really? Okay. Then forget it. No, there were no hands. And this broadcast, I must tell you, is not heard in either of these cities. So there's the miracle. But you might be traveling there. You might be listening on the internet. In Providence, Rhode Island, Teddy Bear's Picnic, the film that refuses to die, my little comedy film that refuses to die despite the efforts of many in the media, is playing at the Castle Cinema in Providence through November 21st. And it opens in Boston at the Coolidge Corners November 19th, playing through the 25th. And if you're in Boston on Tuesday, come up to the Coolidge Corners and I'll be there. I know. It seems ludicrous, but I will. Taking the train. I figured that out finally. You can take the train on the East Coast. I took this week my first American train since I decided not to work in the advertising business. My first American train ride since New York had 5 daily newspapers. That's a long time, ladies and gentlemen. And it was Amtrak. And it was good. I'm not the Amtrak spokesperson, nor, unlike Steve Martin, am I the Merrill Lynch spokesperson. But that is another story. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday. The British newspapers would like to scare you. And this is from, something that should have scared you last week, but I didn't have access to it till today. So you had a week without fear. That week now ends. Earth's magnetic field, the force that protects us from deadly radiation bursts from outer space, is weakening dramatically. Oh no, there go the fridge magnets. Scientists have discovered that its strength has dropped precipitously over the past 2 centuries and could disappear over the next 1,000 years. No kidding, there go the magnets. You can't blame this on global anything, I don't think, but I haven't read the whole story yet. The effects could be catastrophic. That is serious London Sunday journalism at its best. The effects could be catastrophic. On the other hand, they could be non-existent. But let's press on, shall we? Powerful radiation bursts, which normally never touch the atmosphere, would heat up its upper layers, triggering climatic disruption. Navigation and communication satellites, Earth's eyes and ears, would be destroyed, and migrating animals left unable to navigate. They could come into the studio, because we couldn't communicate, so there'd be plenty of room for them here. Earth's magnetic field has disappeared many times before as a prelude to our magnetic poles flipping over when north becomes south and vice versa, said Dr. Alan Thompson of the British Geological Survey in Edinburgh. Reversals happen once every 250,000 years or so, and so as there has not been one for almost 1 million years, we are due one soon. Yeah, by my watch, my watch stopped working. For more than 100 years, scientists have noted the strength of Earth's magnetic field has been declining, but have disagreed about interpretations. Some said its drop was a precursor to reversal. Others argued it merely indicated some temporary variation in field strength has been occurring. Whatever it means. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the fields flipped? I mean, that the poles flipped? Not the people in Poland. The poles, the magnetic poles, flipped every 250,000 years? My folks didn't remember that. Of course, they didn't live 250,000 years ago. Dear Harry, a listener sends an excerpt from a speech by General Tommy Franks, the 4-star commander of the U.S. Central Command responsible for the Middle East, said he believes there will be widespread international support for any military action against Iraq. He said that is because of what he sees as growing global fear of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Quote Tommy Franks, "The stakes are too high, and the sight of the first mushroom cloud on one of the major population centers on this planet is something that most nations on this planet are willing to go a long ways out of their way to prevent." Unquote. First mushroom cloud, eh? What were those things in... Oh, those weren't population centers. What were those? a long ways out of their way. That's good general talk. And now, ladies and gentlemen, those apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Yes, it's a copyrighted feature. And we start with the great state of Massachusetts. Massachusetts Turnpike officials publicly apologized for dumping thousands of carcasses of animals killed along the roadway in the picturesque resort community of Stockbridge without seeking required town and state approvals. Officials failed to notice and heed changes in the Department of Environmental Protection regulations for the operation of landfills, according to Bob Bliss, a spokesman for the Turnpike Authority. The Turnpike dumped more than 4,000 carcasses of deer, moose, bear, and other animals killed along the toll road in the broad median in Stockbridge since the road opened in 1957, according to Bliss. He said that Boneyard is the only active central depository remaining along the road, and said the pike stopped bringing dead animals there 2 months ago. That's progress. See, we live in a time of progress. 2 months ago, they stopped bringing the bones. Turnpike engineers maintain the dumping has caused no pollution of nearby private wells and little damage to surrounding wetlands. Outraged local officials hauled out skulls and chunks of oil-covered asphalt they'd recovered from the site and demanded the Turnpike remove everything in the dump that is dozens of feet deep. Hey, you know what? I'm going up to that area on Tuesday. I'll bring a big sack, a big gunny sack, and we'll take some. We'll just dig in. You don't have the permits for the dump. It should never have been there, so it should be removed, and the wetland should be restored to its original condition, said Selectman George Shippey. A spokeswoman, for the State Department of Environmental Protection, Anna Symington, said she's investigating, or her department is investigating the Stockbridge site, and whether the Turnpike may have other illegal dumps on its property. No, I think they probably just did that one. You know, why would they do more? That would be a habit. Dateline Portland, Oregon, Governor John Kitzhaber. Yes, it is. Kitzhaber. Plans to apologize. We have apologies of the future now, ladies and gentlemen. The feature is being recopyrighted to incorporate this new aspect. He plans to apologize next month. Make your appointment now to be there. To hundreds of Oregonians who were sterilized by the state of Oregon, according to victims' advocates. A statement by Kitzhaber would make him the second governor after Mark Warner of Virginia to offer an official apology for his state's eugenics laws. A spokesman for Kitzhaber, however, stopped short of saying the governor will issue a formal apology. Quote, what we're doing is declaring a Human Rights Day in Oregon on December 2nd to acknowledge the progress made in the treatment of the developmentally disabled, according to spokesman Tom Towsley. In the course of declaring that day, he'll acknowledge past inappropriate acts, in particular, forced sterilization. So, a possible apology of the future. That's like Australia. Australia declared Sorry Day to deal with the fact that two generations of Aboriginal children had been stolen from their parents so they could be brought up as white Australians. And they have this Sorry Day, but the Prime Minister refuses to actually apologize. We got a Sorry Day. We don't need to apologize. They're not even planning to. So Oregon's better than Australia. And Dateline Chicago, St. Xavier University is considering taking disciplinary action against one of its professors who sent an email to a U.S. Air Force Academy cadet that described him as a, quote, disgrace to the country, unquote. The university apologized for the email sent by Peter Kirstein. The cadet had contacted Kirstein by email for ideas on how to advertise an academic forum that the Air Force Academy was planning. The professor replied, quote, I'm furious you would even think I would support you and your aggressive baby-killing tactics, unquote. Kirstein has apologized to the cadet. University President Richard Yanikowski says the email was a rash response. Just, you know, before you hit the send button, read them over, ladies and gentlemen, is always good advice. Even for a professor who apparently harkens back to the old days. Don't mind me, I'm just looking to see which machine is which. You know, on this broadcast, we like to, from time to time, fortify our theory that the reason Tom Brokaw's NBC Nightly News is the number one network news broadcast and television in North America, is simply because, although it's the least topical and timely of them all, it does involve the anchor saying the word tonight more often than humans would otherwise have thought feasible. And we keep count just to make sure that that I'm not making it up or that I didn't imagine it and that it's still going on. So here from this week's NBC Nightly News, the Tonight Count with Tom Brokaw.
Tonight, there's an intriguing new audio tape allegedly from Osama bin Laden. And tonight, a senior Bush administration official said it's him. Thanks very much, NBC's Kelly O'Donnell tonight. Authorities tonight are looking into the possibility that a second man killed in a CIA missile strike in Yemen was part of an alleged terror cell in Lackawanna, New York, near Buffalo. On Capitol Hill tonight, the lame duck session of Congress has convened. Thanks very much, NBC's David Gregory tonight. And from Alabama to Ohio tonight, many families still are trying to figure out just how much they lost in those tornadoes. Thanks very much, NBC's Robert Hager in Tennessee tonight. Up next, NBC News in depth, what U.S. troops could face in a military conflict in Iraq, the chilling prospects. We're on a long run of chilling prospects, by the way. The word is popping up way too much. Everything's chilling, chilling, chilling.
Yeah, what about tonight?
NBC News in depth tonight, as we have already heard, Iraq may be trying to stock up on an antidote to a form of nerve gas. Now, our special series this week, Your Money Tonight. Who should pay, you or your insurance company, for expensive experimental health treatments that could restore your health, but they do carry a big price tag? In Washington tonight, a newcomer to the Capitol is relishing his fame and power, however fleeting they may be.
Tonight, total 10.
Thanks, pal.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tom. 10 tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and some practicing of the L's at the beginning. You're welcome. Oh, one of these machines will start. Don't worry about it. I'll just sit here. Hey, I'm just going to yell at the CD till it starts.
The rules have changed. I'm not the same girl as I used to be. And it's getting better to be strong. And now the day has died. I wore my hatred like a badge of pride. So pinch me if I'm dreaming. And when I saw her, I knew her. I watched her as she pushed the plate away. Should I save her? Should I get down on my knees?
Cinder, got so much to say, and she's beautiful.
She's beautiful.
Free her today, send her a message from heaven. For she throws it all away. Tell her she's beautiful.
This is Le Show from New York City, where you have to wind up the CD machines before pressing the button. I guess. I don't know. They didn't come with the instructions, but I guess you just have to wind up the big crank. Speaking of big cranks, here I am to remind you of the difference, another difference between America and Australia. Dateline Canberra, which is the Australian capital. Yes, it is. Still, Prime Minister John Howard of Australia has defended the right of people to burn the Australian flag. He's a conservative, by the way, just to orient you, saying that while repugnant, it was a matter of free speech. Deputy Prime Minister John Anderson disagreed, saying he would continue to lobby to make it illegal. Illegal. Thank you, Tom. The issue has generated passionate debate within the governing coalition. Liberal Justice Minister Chris Ellison said flag burning should be an offense. He said his wife was giving him a flagpole for Christmas, so he could fly the flag at home. But others cautioned against a ban. A prominent member of the governing coalition said a ban would play into the hands of repugnant exhibitionists. Others asked how such a ban would be policed. Would it apply to all flags and would cover people who ripped or spat on the flag? The prime minister said it was a difficult issue. Despite, he said, my great affection for the Australian flag, I have stopped short of advocating that because, repugnant though it is to me, in the end, I guess it's part of the sort of free speech code that we have in this country. By the way, Australia doesn't have a First Amendment. They just sort of believe stuff. They haven't written it down yet. Here's what Dick Armey doesn't want to be. Dick Armey, the outgoing, that is to say, leaving majority leader of the House. He's giving way to Tom DeLay, the exterminator. But here's Dick Armey talking about Nancy Pelosi, the new Democratic leader of the House Democrats. Quote, one of the reasons Nancy's abilities are not appreciated is she is a beautiful woman. I would hate to have gone through life as a beautiful woman because they all too often get discounted by virtue of their abilities. And Nancy's got more ability than people give her credit for. I think she's going to do a good job for the party. So anybody who's supervising the reincarnation of Dick Armey, take note. He does not want to come back as a beautiful woman. Not even in Afghanistan, where I guess he'd be recognized for his abilities because you wouldn't see his beauty. Wouldn't that be? Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me read just a brief trade for you from Crane's Chicago Business. Not a long thing, but it is a trade. I'll read it for you. Daily criticizes terror warnings. Mayor Richard M. Daley of Chicago is not too pleased with the way the federal government issued general warnings to four cities, including Chicago, about possible terrorist threats to hospitals. The mayor said the warnings were, quote, so vague, no one knows what it is, unquote. He questioned where the federal sources are getting their information, saying, quote, maybe they're talking to Martians, unquote. Mayor Daley says that for the billions of dollars the United States is spending on Homeland Security, the federal government has to be more specific when it issues warnings. Well, we need more specific Martians, apparently. The conclusion I draw from you, for you, ladies and gentlemen, when I read the trades for you. Copyrighted feature. I am in New York City, as I've mentioned innumerable times. And one of the big continuing stories in this city is what to do with the World Trade Center site. Virtually every week, the New York Times runs some story about either developer Larry Silverstein, who still owns leasing rights to the site. The site itself is owned by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, or citizens' committees, or artistic competitions, or the fight between the city and the Port Authority and the states of New York and New Jersey over what will be there. Some people have lobbied for the towers to be rebuilt as were. Others are adamant that there be a major memorial. Still others want the site to be reconstituted the way it was before the Twin Towers were built, when it was more a part of the street grid structure of New York City. This week, a new developer has surfaced with a new proposal for a very tall building, One New York Place. It would be a 1.3 million square foot tower, even though there's an awful lot of real estate going unleased there right now. But this clearly is a process that's with the politics and the economics and the emotions. It can potentially take a very long time unless it's put in the hands of people who can get the job done quickly.
Every week, Casey, Corey, and Carla take just a someplace and turn it into a real someplace else. Come on and watch as they embark on another madcap marathon of redesign on deadline. We're Exchanging Solids.
This is our biggest project of all, and it's not easy to get a mayor out of town.
Especially when the mayor is Mike Bloomberg and the town is New York.
Well, fortunately, he's got a fundraiser in White Sulphur Springs.
Or at least he thinks he does.
Yeah, there actually aren't any donors anywhere near the resort.
Mm-mm. But by the time he figures that out, we'll be well on our way. Hey, we've only got 3 days to redo the World Trade Center site.
So, let's get way busy. It's a bustling city, but nobody bustles harder than the Exchanging Solids team. First, we had to decide how to design the space.
It'd be cool to have a mixed-use, mid-sized tower here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but we want that street to cut through the site and reestablish the historic grid, don't we?
Cement cutters!
Watch your fingers.
I will, if you watch yours.
I'll pour the asphalt.
Cool. That'll give me time to get the striping machine. Dude, now I know why this is usually a union gig.
Now, call me a girl, but I think we need some shopping.
You're a girl, and we don't do malls.
But what about an outdoor bazaar under a way cool awning?
Outdoor shopping?
Sweet!
Awning question?
Yeah.
Striped or solid?
Woo.
I vote striped. Way festive.
Yeah. But solid is easier to work with.
Where did it say this is supposed to be easy? Meanwhile, the clock was ticking on that mid-sized mixed-use tower. Corey had designed a Japanese-style open platform tower, and Casey was cladding it in a spackled drop cloth. But wouldn't you know it?
Uh-oh. The spackling gun's blocked.
Ugh.
This is going to throw us so off.
Well, I could try hand-spackling it as soon as I finish with this transit tunnel.
Yeah, but if there's no tower...
We don't need a tunnel. Hi, Mom. I'm spackling.
We decided on a one-acre memorial park, so Casey spent that night sodding the ground while Corey got up early and gathered children's drawings of the Twin Towers from 30 schools. And that afternoon, there I was, stapling them to the masonite wall of memory that I sank into the ground on piano legs. Gee, 7 hours to go.
Uh-huh.
We've got a pretty cool-looking mega-parcel here.
Yeah. You know, as far as I can see, we've only forgotten one thing.
Hey, the papier-mâché curbings were set an hour ago.
Yeah, but... Signage.
Hey, Casey, that's not how you spell interborough.
It is now.
Well, the mayor's back, and he's looking at the project for the first time.
And? Well, I
yeah?
I wish I could run my whole administration like this. But seriously, you did get permits for all this.
We sure did. Mm-hmm. From the Food Channel.
Enough said.
So, you like it?
Well, it'll take a little getting used to. That's a yes.
Well, that's this week's show. Next time, join us in historic Venice, Italy. We're going to redesign it to stop the sinking. And we're going to do it in just 72 hours.
That's next time on Exchanging Solids.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know probably by now that a new audio tape was made public this week thanks to Al Jazeera, the Arab satellite news channel. You know, I think they have more news on Al Jazeera than they have on all three American so-called news channels combined. That's just me. Anyway, the tape is reputedly being authenticated by American intelligence officials as being Osama bin Laden, which is taken as putative evidence that he's still alive since he refers to the Bali bombings of last month. And he makes new threats against the United States and Australia, Germany, France, Italy, a few other countries. There have been a spate of threats. The FBI, as noted before, has issued several warnings, including one on Thursday that said there might be a spectacular new outrage terrorist attack focusing on mass casualties and trying to maximize psychological trauma. So the war on terror clearly continues as preparations continue to grow for or to increase or to be made for the inspectors, the arms inspectors, to return to Iraq under the leadership of Hans Blix. He's a Swede, by the way, in case you were wondering. It's all getting a little complex, and it might be time for a certain phone call.
Hello. So, 41, this isn't good. Hey, 43, everything's good. Bar's fine.
Yeah.
You whipped the dams like a bunch of galley slaves on a pirate vessel off the west coast of Africa. The humble press conference got good reviews.
Yeah.
Collins got the UN pretending they support you.
Yeah, Collins a good man. But
even Trent Lott is in the paper saying nice things about the necessity of getting along with you. You know, so what...
Well, there's just this little thing called a new audio tape from you-know-who, been you-know-what.
Well, of course he's going to release a new tape. You're sitting so far on top of the world, he doesn't come out and say something. He might as well be dead, but...
But he should be dead. Or alive. Yeah. I mean, that's how I said I wanted him, you know, before Laura told me to knock it off.
Yeah.
Instead, he's just a voice on a tape. Spooky, mean, evil, invisible. Just like Michael Jackson, only much, much worse. This is not good.
Okay, well, now take it easy, Sprout. What's Cheney got to say about it? What's Rumsfeld's input? You know, got wise men there. What's their wisdom?
Well, Dick just said with all the new warnings we've issued, he's going back into his rabbit hole for the good of the country. And during the transition process, he's not answering his page.
Transition process.
Yeah, he doesn't have all the duplicate set of suits yet. Mm. It's all tangled up with the Homeland Security bill.
And Rumsfeld?
Hell, Rumsfeld's just busy doing radio interviews and leaking war plans and getting on Ashcroft's behind about that new batch of FBI warnings.
Oh, man, if that agency's ass isn't covered by now, it never will be.
And here's the tip of the ice bag. Man. All of the intelligence people are off doing analysisation of whether it's the evildoer's actual voice on the tape.
Yeah, heard the quality was crappy, like it was on a non-fed phone line.
Fine, they'll figure it out. It'll be him, and my question will still go under-answered.
Which is?
Which is, why is he doing an audio tape in the first base instead of a videotape? What's the deal?
Well... Cheaper. No crew, no lighting guy, no make. No, that doesn't make sense. His videos are always so verite. Easier to get played all over the world, no problem if we have to convert the 600 to the 500 and the 50 to the 60.
All due respect, 41. You're thinking too much like one of us.
I am one of us.
I know, but...
Listen, the fellas at the company...
The CIA?
No. The May Company. Why don't you just tell the world? Anyway, they were always pitching this stuff about trying to think like the enemy, put yourself in his skin, all that malarkey.
Well, but
nothing. They spend all their time trying to think like the enemy. Enemy spends their time learning to think like us. Who do you think gets the better of that deal? Listen, kiddo, underneath their skins, every leader on the planet Earth is just like you and me.
Okay, but now, I just conceptualized this, but...
What?
Well, that Michael Jackson fella I was referring to a minute back.
Yeah, the singer with the weird... everything. Yeah, what if like him, the evildoer has had plastic surgery to change his appearance? And he doesn't want to show his new appearance until after whatever. Or what if, like this Jackson fella,
yeah,
the evildoer's surgery just went horribly wrong. You know, he just got butchered and he's scarred in some hideously disfigurating way. I mean, that's got to make him even madder, doesn't it?
You know what? In your case, you probably should spend some time trying to think like him. You know, just to balance things out.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's more like this. His new hiding place is too visually recognizable, hence audio tape.
Okay, so no big deal, nothing to go to Orange over?
Don't think so.
But talking about Colin, you should see him at the NSC meetings.
National Security Council?
No, the May Company Security Council. Yeah. Anyway, since the UN vote on Iraq, he just sits there smoking his cigar, looking at Rumsfeld like the cat that swallowed the canary in the coal mine. Just, you know, the old rooster of the walk.
Well, of course, when the rubber hits the road and the armor-piercing bullets start flying, our friend General Powell might well be whistling to a different drummer.
Sure, that's when Dandy Don takes the reins again. Mm-hmm. Still, man, Colin delivered Syria. You know, when that vote came through, I told Condi, that's the finest piece of diplomacy I've seen since Steinbrenner outmaneuvered Bart Giamatti. You know, you want to talk about cold.
So, look, 43, steady as she goes. Just a little correction to the right. You don't want to overplay your hand on Saddam.
41, I appreciate your wise advice and counsel on almost any subject under the sun, but...
Yeah, I know.
When it comes to the question of Mr. Saddam, let him stay in office, Hussein. Mm. I think I'll just make sure Dick Cheney's suits get moved pronto and wait till he's back online. But you have relieved my consciousness about the tape, and I thank you for that.
Well, okay, bud. We'll see you Thanksgiving weekend, won't we?
You'd have to keep me away with a feather.
Good deal. Take care.
Give my love to Mom.
Will do.
On an almost equally shamelessly self-promotional note to the one you heard earlier in this broadcast, I'm advised by the gentleman who handles this sort of stuff, and you know me, I don't use the word gentleman often in this context, that a couple of these showings of Teddy Bear's Picnic have come about because listeners to this broadcast have suggested cinemas in their area that might be good places to show it. If you have such a suggestion, you can email us here at the Le Show Dome, lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net, and we'll see if we can make it happen. Thank you. Well, ladies, was that really, was Tom Brokaw really practicing his L's there? Yeah, I guess he was. That's going to conclude this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, all up and down the east coast of North America on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it, wherever you are around the world at two different locations on the Internet, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. The playlists for the broadcast are available at www.harryshearer.com. And it'll be just like the four here cups not being broken, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. Uh-huh. As indicated before, the email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Our thanks, a tip of the Le Show chapeau to Irene Trudell of WNYC New York for helping me to figure out the way to do today's show. And don't get me wrong, I love New York. Oh, look at that, I got me wrong. Le Show comes to you through the facilities of SAS, the satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.